morning, afternoon, night. This is We Are Not Prepared, and we are your hosts, Byron
and Mark Ivy.
Well, welcome to We Are
Not
Prepared.
We're back. It's been a long time.
Man, I am so happy to be out of jail.
I'm so happy that, you know, all these years, you might have seen me walk. You might have seen me driving into work today, not using my cane.
I did see that.
Yeah, I've been able to see my whole life. It's all a joke.
Now, what would you guys do? Like, what would you do, like, if...
It's April Fool's, by the way.
Someone was, like, not blind, but they were going as blind.
Getting all the perks. Reaping all the benefits of being blind. Because there's a lot.
They could just, like, walk up to women and just get all kind of sympathy, take them home, take their clothes off for them because they don't think they could undress. Then you find out this guy has 20/20 vision.
A blind.
Now, what is there a club to attack those people?
You just described the most horrific, you know, blind, what, rapist, I guess, or fake blind?
Fake blind. I don't know.
Oh, what? That's scary.
Fake blind.
April Fool's.
It is. Well, it is April.
He says April Fool's. Right. And she's like, oh, my gosh.
So
I've been seeing you the whole night.
We knew this guy. And he came around and he said he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam.
POW.
And so we gave him lots of props for it. So they came, did a front page story on him. About being a prisoner of war in this Oklahoman. And then kind of find out this guy does research on vets, if they're fake. And the guy never was a prisoner of war.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He, like, disappeared from sight. We haven't seen him since then.
He's probably just running amok, getting 10% off at Lowe's and Home Depot.
So I was wondering if there, because see, there's watchdogs who watch to see if people are really who they say they are with, you know, POWs or Vietnam vets. So I wonder, is there a blind person who's like a blind watchdog?
No, because first off, we'd need a sighted person to do that job, a sighted man or woman. That's a good question, Byron. We're starting off with some heavy hitting.
I shouldn't start
deep
there.
Deep thought.
Okay. Well, let's switch it then. What if someone was going around pretending they were a black person, but they really weren't black?
We'd have a serious problem on our hands.
That's true. So is there a watchdog group to make sure that people are really black?
It was Michael Jackson. But y'all need a new Sammy Sosa. He could be one because he had that surgery where it's kind of, he looks gray now though. He's created a new race, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
I will say this about April Fool's. I don't love Easter being the day before.
I did not even mention April Fool's. You have mentioned it four times, so get it off your chest.
What?
Well, whatever you want to say about April Fool's Day.
Oh, I thought since you didn't say the words April Fool's from the top and started talking about blind fake rapists that I might as well tell everyone.
Did I mention rapists?
They take them home and help them get undressed because he's faking to be blind? I mean, what's he up to?
That is not like rape. If somebody takes my clothes off,
They're taking your clothes off because you can't see to take them off?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You just took that in a
So play. What happens when you're naked? What do they do then?
I don't
know. You ask them to leave? Is that your plan? For you to get the girl to get you naked and then say, ma'am, will you please leave?
That's all I needed. I just needed you to take my clothes off.
And I can, oh, and I can also see the whole time. You're sure you weren't trying to do anything a little sketchy there?
That's like me being a dyslexic, obscene phone caller.
What?
And I say it backwards.
Give me an example. Well,
let's see. I'm going to, how would you say that backwards? Instead of watch you, I'm going to watch myself. I'm watching myself. Will you watch me?
Now you're just confusing your prank call is just confusion. That's your prank.
It is.
Okay.
Now, have you ever done prank calls?
Oh yeah. Here's the thing. People think immediately that I was Mr. Prank Call. I didn't love prank calls like some people. I loved more like in person, like, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes prank calling made me feel a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
You know who I prank call now?
Who?
Spam callers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If I get
you like call them back and they answer?
No, when they call me.
Oh,
and if I
have fun.
Sometimes if they answer and they'll start asking me these questions and I'll just take them in this place. And then about halfway through, they realize they're wasting their time with me. I am full of poo, 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 poo,
yeah.
Poo.
I'll answer on the work phone upstairs and just press the speakerphone button and just keep working and kind of have, I'll do that too. And then I love ending with be like, oh my, I'll be right there. Can I have your cell phone number? I swear I'll call you right back. You'll get whatever you want. Can I have your cell?
That's pretty good. So you've been well.
I have been well.
Your biggest problem in the last month.
My biggest problem in the last month is a cataract on top of my already crappy eyesight.
What? So do you have to have surgery for it?
I will. I'm meeting with the cataract guy. Everyone needs a cataract guy. Because if you get one, you got to get it out of there. In August, I think. But that's not even to have the surgery. That's for him to do a few things. But it's just here's the scary part, actually. It's been pretty decent lately, but that's because I'm getting used to it. And that's how, not to just go all in on blindness again, but with my eye disease, it's gradual over life. And so these things happen every 5 years, and it'll be like, this is the worst thing ever. And then after a couple months pass and you're like, whatever. A few more months pass and it's just like, oh, well, this is my new level of blindness. Cause it's kind of what you've been dealing with your whole, you know, my last 15 years, which I hate that because you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like sometimes I can't fathom the thought of going all the way blind. I know a lot of folks that are all the way blind. My younger brother has the same eye disease. I saw him over the weekend. His eyes are way worse and I just can't. I'm like, it's going to be brutal. But if history is anything to show what with my eyesight is, maybe it will kind of sneak up and I'll be like, oh, well, this is how life is now. Because it's kind of a mind, it messes with your mind because like, it's like, again, it's just in these little increments and then you just adjust to it. So it's kind of a good thing. But at the same time, it's hard to gauge. Like you're a better gauge of how bad my eyes are getting because you can evaluate over our friendship. You know?
Yes. So that makes a lot of sense because if you went like completely blind right at first, you would just have to adjust to that. Now, not only do you have to adjust, but you have to deal with the fear and the anxiety. This could get worse. And so
pros and cons to both though, like definitely pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine not like seeing my daughter and like, I see my daughter's face and I'm grateful for that every day. Cause I know, you know, friends of mine who can't, or even worse could then can't then forget what they even look like.
The only comparison I have is with getting older. Because what happens is my body withers and gets more useless by the day. And so knowing that that is only going to get worse, there's pros and cons to both. But
do you get blacker the older you get? We'll be right back.
No, but I do. I do get blinder, but I had surgery, which I was going to tell you. It's so interesting because I've had like three eye surgeries, and I actually cried at one of my examinations because someone poking around on your eye is such a vulnerable position that I just felt very exposed.
Huh.
And more than any other, the body cut-ups that they've done on me. And they've cut on my body several times, but on that one, I just felt very vulnerable and naked on my eyes. And then he gave me a shot in the eye, which was not fun.
So this is like worse. You felt more vulnerable than like a prostate exam?
Yes.
Because there you are naked.
I was naked, but that's like a
few, I hope you were clothed for the eye shot.
That was like a few seconds, though. I mean, where the eye stuff is like an hour or so.
Oh, him, man.
You know, looking and putting the light in your eye and move to look to the left, to the right.
Yeah. And no, it's a lot. I get my I can't keep my legs still, so I'll be sitting, and then after a while, like my legs and they'll kind of be like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, just you know, whatever you're looking for."
When I tore my retina and they did the surgery,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I tore my
retina. How long ago was that?
Maybe a year.
What?
Yeah. So I just don't like whine about, but I tore my retina, but I'm in the chair getting the surgery because they don't knock you out because they need your eyeballs open. And the nurse next to me, she says, "Would you like me to hold your hand?" Because I was like grabbing the arm of the chair just because it was hurting. Mm-hmm. And I go, "Yes." And I held on to that lady like she was my mother. And so it's just.
Is that the one? Did you have to lay face down for a long time after?
No,
is that just cataracts?
That's just when your retina detaches.
Oh, detaches.
Mine just tore. And so I always have these weird things that happen that. So instead of like normal people detaching, mine tears. But it's in good shape now. And it helped me to realize that I had high blood pressure when I started having eye problems. Because so that's much better. The much better than having a heart attack or a stroke.
Yes.
So they go, something is causing your eyes to bulge out of their eye sockets.
And it was blood pressure?
It was blood pressure.
So now you take another pill.
I take about four. But I look good.
You do.
Thank you.
You do.
Look good too. You look good.
Right now or just always?
You know what I like about you?
I wear sunglasses right now because if I don't, it's just. That's good. That's good. Good audio comedy right there. No one's ever know what we're laughing about.
Yeah, we're. To be descriptive, his eyeballs were flashing back and forth.
We're moving around like pinballs.
He does, even though he's blind, he does have eye movement that he can make fun
of. I do think a lot of, I wear sunglasses a lot now just because my eyes are sensitive to light. But if I have found that like trying to make eye contact now with someone, if usually it happens pretty easily if like in here, like, all right, now I got you and I can make eye contact with you.
Yes.
But if I don't look at you, like if we had two guests here, sometimes it's hard to, well, I did it pretty good right there. Sometimes it's hard to find your eyes and then my eyes kind of wander. And then in my head, I know that my eyes are looking a little wonky because like, it's like my brain's trying to accommodate for what I'm not seeing. And then your eyes do kind of get like that. So blind folks wear sunglasses a lot of the time because they, since we, most people lose their vision throughout life, they know what it looks like if someone's eye, you know, eyeballs aren't doing what the brain is asking them to do. And it, you know, it looks a little alarming. And so they'll wear sunglasses.
Richard Pryor had this great joke about slaves working for a cross-eyed slave boss. And he would say, pick that up, boy. And everybody would drop down and pick it up because they couldn't tell who he was talking to.
What's the movie he's in where he's a...
Blind.
You brought it up and someone else has. I need to watch it.
Not Stir Crazy, but... Can't see you.
A blind guy and a deaf. Yeah.
Yeah. Gene Wilder, which they would never allow that movie to be made now, but it was pretty fun. But I, because they would insist on a true deaf guy and a true blind guy.
You know, it's weird. The between the two, because like you can't go make, oh my gosh, what's the movie Gene Wilder? They all sit around the campfire and fart during one scene.
Blazing Saddles. Which Richard Pryor was a writer on that.
So they couldn't make that now, but Richard Pryor could still do his same act now just because of the security blanket. Some people say they don't. The security blanket's been torn, but it has not. You know, just turn on. You can find the raunchiest, craziest stand-up right now. There's a section for everyone, right? And he could still do his act right now, but you couldn't make Blazing Saddles. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because what he says in those specials are so much worse and obscene than, you know.
That movie, I love it because they offend every race, every ethnicity in the first 5 minutes. I mean, so it just gets worse. But I just think it's a great way to... I just really believe that laughter is the thing that frees us from keeping us prisoner. And it's kind of like, you ever had somebody close to you die?
Yes.
So like my mother, when my mother died, if I give you an example. So a very solemn, very sad kind of thing. But we noticed during the funeral, my brother and I, that people would come in and just like be bawling like babies and falling on the casket. And we had no idea who these people were. We go, they didn't even, hadn't seen my mother in like 50 years or something. And so we just thought that was hilarious. But really, you look at it, that laughter actually helped us to break the solemnness 100%. And the sadness. And so to realize, who are these crazy people laughing at, I mean, crying at my mom's, you know, funeral, and they don't even know who she is. And
I want to make a video. Hopefully I'm spared the time before I pass to make a video so I can play it at my funeral and just make people laugh. I know what everyone's thinking. The wrong brother died. And then freak everyone out. Be like, don't feel bad for me, everyone. You'll all be joining me in 10, 9, 8. It was like, ah!
I tell you, dude, the thing that, so, you know, like when I was younger and would go to jail all the time, the thing that saved me, because I couldn't beat.
How many times did you go to jail? How many nights have you spent the night in jail total? Do you know?
No.
Over 30 days?
Nights? No, over. Maybe about a half a year total. Yeah.
We'll have a special episode and just go back through your jail time diaries.
I don't know if I can remember them all because there's times I wasn't very socially.
Did you make people laugh in jail?
That's what I'm saying. That is the thing that saved me is that I made people laugh. And the band War got arrested one time when I was in jail. I don't know if you've heard of War. Mm-hmm. And so they were stuck there for the weekend because they got busted with pot. And so they were, petrified, but they got in my cell block.
The war?
Yeah. And so I like protected them because I was cracking jokes and stuff. And I just made all these friends.
What's their hit? It's not What Is It Good For, is it?
Theirs was Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid.
No, they got a bigger one than that.
Cinco de Mayo.
No.
You never heard that?
No, but
you've heard Cinco de Mayo.
How's that one go? It's Cinco de Mayo.
They play it every Cinco de Mayo. Why can't we be friends?
Why, okay, that one's a huge. Why can't we?
Yeah. So that was war. So three days spent with them. And but I mean, jail, the thing that saved me is that I just made people laugh. As also, I have thought about my life as, you know, a criminal recently. And how did I survive such a violent world? And two things, my humor saved me. And I would come up with doing the most dangerous stuff that it even scared the criminals.
Like what?
Well, like one time when I was in jail.
Eating the cage bar or something?
I figured out how to get to the phone. And so everyone was making calls on the phone.
Yeah.
And so I figured out how to get it through the bars. And so people were just calling. My parents go, how are you calling us? I said, oh, just have time.
Found a loophole.
Yes.
My dad always said, Mark, if you spent as much time in school finding loopholes, like you would just pass the class for trying.
See, I would have been like, I'm the same. I could have like got complete straight A's.
Sometimes I wish I graduated with you. That's a stretch. I couldn't be on straight A's, but you and I would have had so much fun in high school.
I would have scared you. The places I would have taken you. I was funny.
You could have taken me anywhere you wanted if you made me laugh.
But I was pretty dangerous.
You know how I never took a candy from a stranger, but if a stranger told me a joke and it was a killer joke, I'll get in that van. Tell me another, sir.
Tell you another.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how we went down that dark road.
And then he did tell me another, and he was the ice cream man, and he took me far, far April Fools. What should we end on, Byron?
Well, we got a couple more minutes. I also spent, if you're interested in this, a year in a mental hospital, too.
You did?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was okay. They had dances every Wednesday.
You know, Norm Macdonald tells, I'll send it to you, but he got hired to do comedy in an insane asylum. And the week before him were the Sadler brothers or the Gatlin brothers? You know, the Gatlin brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he would sit there and they'd go, you know, the Gatlin brothers were here last week, you know, and there was just like five of them in the audience because there was, he goes, people got in trouble that day. I don't know. But they were like, you know, sweet shoes, bitch. Just getting like, you know, this one guy said he was going to kill him. And no one's like, oh, okay, anyway.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just crack up about, you know, it's awesome. You should. Like I love knowing that there's entertainment at these same asylums, but to be the act going, you know, through the barbed wire fence, through the check-in and being like, what am I doing? They're not going to laugh, but they need it.
It was a great place that I learned that I really wasn't crazy because I didn't want to give up on.
That's what they all say.
Well, but I mean, I didn't want
to. I'm not being funny, but like, it would be hard to like. I'm sure you didn't. Did you know what? How did you know that you were you ever tricked into thinking you were crazy? Like, did you think
once
you
belong in there? They treat you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're treated. I mean, it's almost like jail. Like, people go, I didn't do it. In the crazy place, people go, I'm not crazy. But
they make you take any medicine?
Well, that's why I was there. I was taking medicine, but they had to put me in. I was really there for drugs, but they put me in with just a mental patient.
Do you know why? Like, what caused you to get put into there instead of, like, rehab?
They didn't have rehab at that time.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah. That's why it was, they didn't have rehab, so they just put, like, all the, that's why rehab was so revolutionary, because it was actually a place where somebody with a drug problem could go, where at that time, you just had to go to the mental hospital.
Yeah.
And so, but I, they used to like make us get up at 6 o'clock, clean our bed, clean our room, and then eat. And then you would sit around for the rest of the day and smoke cigarettes and look at TV. And so it incensed me to no degree. And I go, why are you waking us up when all we do is sit around? So we had patient meetings every week. And I, at our patient meeting, I got up and tried to get, I said, let's overthrow. We could do this. Come on. We don't have to get up. La, da, da. And they all just were sitting out there smoking cigarettes, staring at me.
Yeah, because they probably, they, whatever they got them taking every morning is turned them into zombies. And yeah. you're the only non-crazy one. So you're like, believe me, everyone.
And so that's when I go, I'm not crazy because I'm not ready to just sit here, smoke a cigarette, yeah. and look at TV.
Were you smoking cigarettes though?
Oh, probably.
You had to. What else
probably,
was there to do?
Yeah.
Did you make a friend there?
Actually, I ended up becoming roommates with the guys that were my guards.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're still friends 50 years later.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So the guards were nice. Sometimes yeah. you hear horrible stories about those places.
Most of them were like students going to OU.
Oh, okay.
And so when I got out, they go, hey, why don't you
were you in at OU when you had to go do this?
I was at, Griffin.
So you were a student at OU when you had to go?
No, I was, I just was living it. The reason I went to Norman is to go to the mental hospital. When I got out.
How old were you?
22.
So just got out of college or have you been?
I hadn't been to college. Okay. I just got out of jail. So trying to escape going back to jail. And I ended up in a mental hospital.
Can we dedicate an episode? Can I be, can we be somewhat prepared on an episode of your choice so I can come with some questions about your jail? And no, because I have a ton of obviously funny questions, but serious questions too, because what I get by with, you know, my vision with laughter. I think anyone who has a true, real comedic sense of humor too has some type of tragedy that has, I mean, there's a reason we're knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You know, but you can take that into, we've talked about death. You've talked about being in the loony bin. You've talked about being in jail. And
on April Fool's Day, and they're not April Fool's.
And they're not April Fool's, but with the key theme being your humor has gotten you through those situations.
Yeah, yeah. So you could dedicate any time. If I could dedicate an hour to asking you something, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want it to be blindness. I would just love to talk. I would love to talk about old, like, Hollywood comedians and stuff with you. I've been listening, like, Carol Burnett.
She's great.
She's 90. And Conan O'Brien just had her on. You would think she's like, I always forget your age. You talk about the older you get, the more your body doesn't work. Well, your brain, to me, still is polished. And you're working every day. You're doing it. And you're what? How old are you?
71. Almost 72.
By law, I mean, you, I Googled it the other day. You have 3 more years left on this earth. And you're doing great. But Carol Burnett, and I was listening to her. She's 90. I was like, holy smokes. And then her, like Lucille Ball, and like, and then you hear about all these women, like, not being, they were doing it when they couldn't even vote.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a, Carol Burnett's show is so funny. The skits, the physical, her and Lucille Ball are the funniest physical comedic actors I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, how they could just eat a cake and have it look like the funniest thing in
true
the world.
Comedy.
True comedy. Well, our time is up. We've seen to waste a whole.
I've missed you.
We'll be back again.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for we
are
not
pre
Santiago, take us out.